Chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 to 8. Let's give. Acts chapter 1, verse 1 says, "A former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, till the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Let's pray. Dear Father, we just thank you again for your word. And we just pray that you would help us this day to hear from you. Just pray you would speak to us, help us to have ears to hear. And may sink into our hearts, and that we may, through your word, be renewed and made to bear fruit for you. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. And through this year, we've been considering the thoughts that come out of the verse in John 20:21, where it says, "As the Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And as we've seen, there's so much encapsulated in that thought of what he's describing there. We think in terms of what he sends us to do. We think in terms of what he sends us with to accomplish those tasks. We think of his spirit that we have with him, his authority, his presence. Last week we considered how he sends us with his power. And as well, we've considered the spirit in which he sends us, that we're not to kill or destroy. Instead, we're to seek and to save that which was lost. We're to bind up. We're to comfort. We're to bless. We're to tell people the truth that they need to hear. And so, as we look again into this passage in Acts, and specifically in verse number 8, we see a phrase that defines much of what we are to do as God's people. And we see that there. He says that ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And he says, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. And so he wants us to be his witnesses. And so we are sent as his witnesses into this world. And so a witness, we recognize, is someone who sees an event occur and is called upon to declare the details of that event. Someone might be a witness to an accident. Some might be a witness to a crime. And so what happens is they're called before a court of law to testify, and they declare what they have seen. And so when they come, we understand that there's an expectation that oftentimes they'll have a Bible, they'll put their hand on the Bible, and they'll say, "Do you swear to pledge the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but to the truth, so help you God?" And they do that. And that's what we understand. If someone is a witness, they have to give a true account of the knowledge that they have. And of course, if they don't give a true account, they give a false account, that's perjury. That's something that's very serious. And so we recognize, for us as believers, that we're called to be witnesses of him. And we think of it in this way. Jesus declared himself to be the way, the truth, and the life. And so as a believer and as a follower of Christ, that's our responsibility, to tell people about Jesus, the one who is the truth. And we need to tell them the whole truth about Jesus. And that's the truth that people need to hear. That's the truth that's going to save their soul. It's the truth that will set them free. And in many ways, as with so many other things we've seen in this study, Christ always sets the example for us that we should follow in His steps. We think of what it says in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. And this is John speaking of the Lord Jesus. And he says this of him. It says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead." That's who he was. He was a witness of the Father to us, and he was faithful in his responsibility. We think of as well what it says in John chapter 1 and verse number 18. Where it says, "No man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." And so we think of that he came down to earth to tell people the truth, that many people might have had their own thoughts. We think of the Pharisees, of all their whole understanding of, well, they had to keep the law, and that's what would make them righteous before God and acceptable to him. And we see how he laid it out to Nicodemus. He says, "No, you must be born again. You have to have a relationship with God, and that comes through believing on the one who died for them." And so we recognize that he gave a testimony of the truth, and so we're following in his steps, that we are seeking to be faithful witnesses just like he was. And so we see here in Acts 1 that's what he's calling his disciples to do, is that I want you to be witnesses for me, to tell people about me, tell people what you've seen, that they were the ones that were close to Jesus, and they spent a lot of time with Jesus. And so they knew him really well. And of course, they all were witnesses of his resurrection. And so we think of John in 1 John 1, verses 1 to 3. He says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." Now we think of that they experienced Christ themselves. They got to see him for themselves. And he identifies him as the word of life, as that eternal life which was from the Father. And he's bearing witness, he's declaring it to us so that we can have fellowship with him and with the Son and with the Father as well. And so we see that they understood that. And as we really start reading through the book of Acts, they started fulfilling this desire of their Savior. That he said, "I want you to be witnesses." And so as the Holy Spirit came upon them, as they received that power and ability to speak and boldness, that then they started witnessing of him. That we see in Acts chapter 2, verses 32 and 33, where he's talking about Jesus, and I'm not going to read the whole chapter there just for sake of time, but he said, "This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received the Father, the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which ye now see and hear." And so they, of course, on Pentecost, they were able to speak in tongues, and so these people from all these different countries nationalities spoke normally different languages, that they could hear the disciples speaking in their language so that they could understand. And so this was all happening as really a sign of the Holy Spirit coming upon them and testifying of the validity of their message. What we see in Acts chapter 3 is they continue that Peter and John come into the temple. They see this man that's lame, and by the power of the Holy Spirit within them, they're able to heal this man. And then they use that as an opportunity to testify of Jesus and explaining them about who Jesus was and that he was the Savior. But then, of course, what happens? They come, they're brought before the council, the Sanhedrin, and we identify this. This was the same council which condemned Jesus to death. But yet they're brought before them, and those, the high priests and others that were in charge, it says, verse 7, when they've set them in the midst, they ask, by what power, by what name have ye done this? And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, but by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is a stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so we see that they spoke with great boldness, and the people that they spoke to didn't like what they had to say, and they said, we don't want you to speak anymore of Jesus. And these were people in authority, and they could have said, okay, well, we don't want to have the same thing happen to us that happened to Jesus. We're just going to be quiet, and we said our piece. Nobody was interested in hearing it, so we'll just be quiet. But we see that's not what happened at all. That we actually find in the end of chapter 4, that what happens is they went to their brethren, and they had a prayer meeting. And they pray to God and says, okay, you see what happened, Lord. Behold their threatenings. They're saying that bad things are going to happen to us if we continue to tell about you. And so they said, Lord, we know you want us to be witnesses. What you want us to do is trumps what they want us to do. And so just, Lord, can you give us boldness so that we can be witnesses for you? And so we find in verse 31 of that passage, it says, when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they're all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul, neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed with his own, but they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. And so we see that they kept witnessing, that the Holy Spirit was empowering them to do so, and even though they were getting threatened and other things, they wouldn't back down. We find that in Acts chapter 5, that the council brings them before him again, and the high priest says to him, verse 28, he says, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? Behold, ye filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, intend to bring this man's blood upon us. And was Peter's response? He said, Peter and the other apostles answered, said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses of these things. And so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. And so we see that they continued to be witnesses, even though it was dangerous for them to do so, even though they experienced various threats, that they wouldn't back down. They said, we have to tell people the truth. This is what they need to hear. And our Savior has given us the responsibility to be his witnesses, so we are going to do that no matter what. And we find them as we read through Acts, as they were witnesses in Jerusalem. But then we see as persecution came and they were scattered abroad, they went everywhere preaching the word, and soon all of Judea heard about the word of God. And then they went to Samaria and started preaching there. And then Soon, the Lord showed them that they needed to go even further, that they needed to not preach just to the Jews, they needed to preach to the Gentiles as well. And soon we find, within less than 25 years from when Jesus was raised from the dead, that we find that there's missionaries that are starting to go out in different parts of the world, and they're doing as much as they can to spread it out to the uttermost part of the earth. And so when we see this for ourselves, we really recognize that this is, we are to follow in their footsteps. That as they were sent by God to be witnesses, so are we sent by God in our generation to be witnesses as well. And it's not something where we need to be looking for the right environment in which to be witnesses. We don't have to be in a courtroom to be a witness for Him. That it's whenever we have opportunity, people need to know the truth, and we're sent by God to share that truth. And the challenge is, of course, is we sometimes say, okay, well, the apostles, it was different for them because they saw Jesus themselves. They walked with Him, they saw those miracles, and they were witnesses of the resurrection. They were able to put their hand in nail prints on His hands. They're able to put their hand in His side. They saw Him with all this happen, and sometimes we ask, well, that didn't happen to me. I can just kind of relate what they said. How is that going to have power in someone's life? But we want to recognize that we ourselves, as believers, we do have a personal experience with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That for each of us, we recognize there is a time where we recognized our sin and we looked to Him for salvation and He saved us. And we could think of maybe the life we are in, of what He saved us out of. But sometimes we think too, if we're maybe raised in a Christian home and we come to know the Lord in early age, of what He saved us from getting into. And there's things that we can share, and as we walk with the Lord, that we can share how He's answered prayer. We can share of things that He's done in our life, of things that, sure, that it might not be something as miraculous as what we see in spoken of in the New Testament, but in our own lives we see it was something that we can't explain any other way than God stepped into our life and did something amazing. And so we can share what has happened with our own life, our own salvation experience, our own life experience of living and walking with Him. And we can testify of what the Scriptures have to say. That as it says in 1 John 4, verse 14, we have seen and do testify that God the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. That we have this more sure word of prophecy, and that we can give this to people. This is a witness that can be trusted, that they can look to, that this is the truth that they need to hear. And we can, as we are witnesses of the truth, we can hold up God's word as the truth, because as we've experienced its power in our lives as well, that we can share with people and show how it can help them also. And so we recognize that people need to hear, and they need us to be witnesses, first of all, because we have the truth that can save their souls and save their lives, that people need to know. We can't guarantee that they're going to hear by someone else. And so we know what we have is what they need, and so we need to be witnesses and to share it. It says in Proverbs 14, in verse 25, it says, "A true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies." And that's what we need to be, our true witnesses, where we're telling people about the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, because in so doing, we can deliver souls. that people who are headed to an eternity of torment and separation from God, who don't understand that there's a God that loves them, a God who has stepped into history to provide a way where they can be forgiven, their sins can be washed away, and they can, instead of expecting hell, can have a hope of heaven, that as we speak the truth, that it can save lives and it can transform lives. But the fact is too is that it's necessary for us to be faithful witnesses, because there are many false witnesses in this world. That it isn't like that there's just kind of silence, and that we kind of speak out of the silence about Jesus and then everyone can hear that. What's happening is that there's so many false witnesses, so much noise, that it's hard for people to even see it. And you can think in a court of law that you can have different people that come up and they have their story, and you could have two or three false witnesses that have maybe colluded and they've come up with what seems to be a rock hard story. But then what happens is if you have someone that was there that speaks the truth, that can verify things, then a lot of times, no matter how well crafted their story might be, it quickly falls apart because there is a true witness there. And so that's what we want to recognize. That is a situation in which we live today, that there's so many people that really don't know anything about Jesus, that are saying all kinds of things about him that aren't true about Christianity, and we recognize there's many forms of Christianity that we might identify as being, well, that's not in terms of being biblical Christianity, that doesn't really fit. And the thing is that many times what is shed forth as being who Jesus is actually a misrepresentation of who he is. Sometimes people just try to act, well, he's sort of like Confucius or Buddha. He's just this great teacher that if you just kind of follow some of his teachings, kind of pick the ones you want, and it'll help you to just kind of have a better life, better feeling about yourself. When we have to tell people the truth that he's the only one that is a savior of this world, that it isn't just kind of thinking about what he has to say, it's actually realizing I have to put my faith and trust in him, that this is a eternal life or eternal death decision that I have to make. And so we realize that Satan wants to drown out the truth. He wants everyone to believe a lie. He wants people to think that they don't have to do anything with Jesus, that they can just kind of respect him from a distance, but not, they don't really have to go any deeper than that. And of course, the devil as well, he wants to do everything he can to intimidate us so that we will not testify. And we think of that a lot of times when there's criminals, when there's someone that's set to testify, that they have the witness protection program, so that a person can assume a new identity, they're not going to be tracked down, and that they can still give the testimony when the time comes that puts that person in jail, but them and their family are protected. And it's the thing is that the devil wants to try to intimidate us as his people, or as God's people, but we realize that God is with us, we don't have to be afraid. And that even though he's trying to shut us up, we say, no, I must tell the truth, whatever it may cost me. I cannot keep silent. There's too much at stake for me to do so. And so we are witnesses for the Lord Jesus. And in terms of our motivation, we recognize we are witnesses for Jesus' sake, because we know what he has done for us. That he is our Savior, he is our brother, he is that friend that we have through life. And so we want other people to know about him. You think of John, of just the closeness he had with Jesus, and how he wanted to tell people about this person that he met. This one that loved him even though he was illiterate fisherman in Galilee that kind of hick from the sticks that most people wouldn't even care about, that Jesus cared about him. And he wanted everybody to know about Jesus because of that relationship that he had. And that's the same with us. When we know Jesus, when we walk with him, when we love him, and we really experience what he can do in our lives, we want to tell everybody. We want them to have the same joy that we do. But as well, we're also witnesses for the sake of the lost around us. And you think about it, for many, in their minds, Jesus stands on trial. And they must decide what they are going to do with Jesus. And the thing is, if they pass the wrong judgment and they end up rejecting Christ, they're going to be the ones that face condemnation. And so many people don't understand that. They think, well, whatever I decide with Christ, I can either accept him or reject him. But that decision is the eternal life or eternal death decision. And so we need witnesses that will speak the truth for their sake so that they have the information that they need so they can make the right judgment that will save their lives and save their souls. I know one fellow I ended up talking with at the trade show last weekend, where one of the things he said at the end of what we said was, he says, well, all he'd seen of Christianity, he really wanted nothing to do with it. But then what I was sharing with him about trying to help people that were struggling, that he said, this is something about Christianity that I actually like that I've never seen before. And for many people, that's what they've seen hasn't really been the real thing. And so we want to be the real thing to them. Show them the truth. Show them what Jesus is, and show Jesus through our lives. And that is the thought, that we bear witness, and it is, yes, by our words, but so much more it is by our lives. And it's interesting, the Greek word for witnesses that we see in Acts 1 and verse 8 is martus, and that's actually the same word from which we get the word martyr. And we want to really understand that. The apostles, he said, ye shall be witnesses unto me. But in, as well, he said, ye shall be, in a sense, martyrs unto me. And so it's that thought that the apostles, they were willing to testify of the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're willing to give their lives to do so. They would rather die than not tell the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And no matter what it cost, they would never deny him. And they knew that they had to be witnesses no matter what. And so it's our thought that by our words, yes, but so much more by our lives. As we learn to walk in the Spirit and we have the Holy Spirit work in us, transform us, make us like Christ, we want them to see Christ in us. And of course, some, when they see Christ in us, that they'll get upset and they'll react. But we know that they need to see him and they need to make a decision on him. And sometimes that confrontation is necessary. They need to be confronted with their sin and their need of a Savior. And God sends us by his Spirit to do that. And so it's something to ask ourselves, how much are we willing to endure to share the truth? What will silence us, and what is that something that should silence us? And because we realize now more than ever, the world needs us to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus. There's so much falsehood out there, so much fake news. People need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ again. And some have, what they've heard, based on the evidence that they have gathered, they figure that Christ is not something that they're interested in, and they've rejected him. But we recognize he is the one who has been rejected, whom the Lord has chosen. And we need to help people to take a second look, to re-examine the evidence, to see, yes, Jesus is not what you thought he was. Jesus is the one that you need. Jesus is the one that can transform your life. He's the one you need to have in your life. And so may the Lord help each of us by His power to be His witnesses, so people all around us might know the truth that will save their souls and will set them free. Let's pray. Dearly Father, we just thank You for Your Word. We just pray You would help us to be Your witnesses. We know, Lord, that we cannot do so without Your power, without Your enabling. And so we pray for that enabling. We just pray that we might be yielded to You so that You can use us. And just, Lord, pray You give us the words to speak. And we pray, Lord, that You give us the ability to live our lives in a way that honors You, where it's not just us trying to be good and maintain a facade, but instead that we would be real, and that even in difficult times that we would see us responding properly, and that Your life would shine through ours so that people can see You as You truly are and come to love You and accept You as their Savior. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.